We will conclude our study of John chapter 6 today. This is the last section in John, found in John 6, 60 to 71, entitled, Many Turn Away and Stop Following Jesus. What a sad title. Yet it is still true today that many people come to Jesus for blessing, but turn away when they understand his call to eat his flesh and drink his blood. They do not have genuine faith and are not true disciples of Jesus. I have emphasized regularly that one of the central purposes of Friends Bible Study is to equip disciples for every good work that God has called them to. Disciples of Jesus live by his indwelling life, which is the central focus of John 6. Jesus is the bread of life. We have no life apart from him. A disciple of Jesus feeds on Jesus and lives by his life within us. We must have the help of the Holy Spirit to understand what it means to feed on Jesus and live by his indwelling life. As we go through this passage, I will refer to 1 Corinthians 2:12 and 14 again and compare these verses, which we've talked a lot about, to Jesus' words in John 6:33. He said, "The words I speak to you are spirit and they are life." John 6:63 is a key verse. I think this verse's meaning will become clear as we study this passage. As always, let's prepare our hearts to hear the word of the Lord today. Father, thank you for giving us, for speaking to us, and for giving us your word. Please help us to understand this last passage in John 6 as we study together. We are hungry for you and for your words, and may the glory of Christ be revealed through the sharing of his word. John 6, beginning with verse 61. Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before?" He's saying, do my words about eating flesh and drinking my blood, are they offensive to you? Some disciples were grumbling about Jesus saying that we must eat his flesh and drink his blood. His words were and are offensive to the human mind. Perhaps we would have grumbled and reacted in our unspiritual human nature because these words seem irrational to the human mind. I think the trend in the church today is to compromise with the world and to explain away statements of Jesus and his teachings in the Bible that confront or contradict the thinking and lifestyle of people in the world. Sometimes we don't want people to be offended by what the Bible says, so we try to make it appealing and palatable. The Bible will never be appealing and palatable to people who are living in the flesh according to their sinful nature. We must study the Bible and correctly interpret it. However, if we're not living in love relationship with God, with the heart to hear and obey him, we will not be able to understand or correctly interpret the scriptures. As we discussed in John 5:39 and 40, we must not only diligently study the scriptures, but we must continually come to Jesus and receive life through the Spirit. Verse 62. Jesus asked, "What if you see the Son of Man ascend to the place he was before?" Where is this place? This refers to Jesus' eternal oneness with the Father and the Spirit before he came into this world. Through a series of events that began with the cross, Jesus was glorified and sat down at the right hand, at the Father's right hand after his resurrection and ascension. Jesus wanted his followers to know that he had come from heaven, which he mentioned seven times, and he wanted them to understand that he would return to the place and position and glory he had before coming into this world. Jesus strongly emphasized that he came from heaven and would return to heaven. He was not an ordinary human being, but came into this world through the virgin birth. He would suffer and die for our sins, but would be glorified by returning to his place of glory in the presence of the Father. Verse 63, "The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life." What does this verse mean? when he said his words are spirit and life. I've mentioned 1 Corinthians 2:12 and 14 a few times in this study of John 6. Jesus' words in verse 63 are very similar in meaning to Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 2. Let's take another look. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. Jesus said, the flesh counts for nothing. By flesh, Jesus is talking about human abilities apart from the Spirit of God. The Jewish leaders analyzed interpreted what Jesus said through their human intellect, but did not open their hearts to his teaching. The flesh also includes our selfish, sinful nature. Our conclusions will obviously be twisted when we see and interpret reality through our self-centered, sinful nature. Jesus said, the words I've spoken to you, they are spirit and life. Until today, people have misinterpreted and twisted his words about eating his flesh and drinking his blood because they interpret them only through human reasoning without the help of the Holy Spirit. Jesus made it clear in verse 63 that his words are spirit and life. Without the help of the Holy Spirit, we cannot understand Jesus' words. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the things of God are understood only through the Spirit. Also, Paul said in verse 12, we have received the Spirit who's from God that we might understand the things that are freely given to us. God has given us his Spirit so that we can understand his word and the things that God has given to us. He has given us salvation, sonship, eternal riches. We know this by the Spirit of God who lives in us. I have repeated this many times because it is a central point of John 6 and of Jesus' teaching. Without the Spirit of God, we cannot understand the Word of God. Through the Holy Spirit, we can experience what Jesus meant when he said, we must eat his flesh and drink his blood. Verse 64, yet there are some of you who do not believe. Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, this is why I told you, no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. So this is the third reference to the Father drawing or enabling people to come to himself. Jesus emphasized, no one can come to the Father unless the Father draws him. And I think we should try not to lead people to faith through our human power of persuasion alone, but look to the Father's work in people's lives so that their faith may not rest in human wisdom, but in God's power. Some of the people who had been following Jesus did not truly believe in him. Jesus knew their hearts, and he knew from the beginning who would betray him. Verse 66, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Verse 67, Jesus asked the 12, do you want to leave me too? Well, we've talked about why people turn away and stop following Jesus. But why did Jesus ask his disciples if they wanted to go away too? Many people turned away and did not follow Jesus because they did not open their hearts to the life-giving words of God through his Spirit. They interpreted Jesus' words only through their intellect and logic and could not accept the work of the Spirit. Many people today want blessing but don't want to follow Jesus. They want bread but not inner transformation through his indwelling presence. They want power but don't want to submit to Jesus' rule in their lives. They want blessings from Jesus but don't want to follow Jesus as Lord. Jesus asked the 12 disciples, do you want to leave too? I think Jesus was challenging his disciples to make a choice to follow him. Were they going to follow the crowd, which most people usually do, or accept Jesus' teaching about eating his flesh and drinking his blood? Verse 68, Simon Peter answered, Lord, we have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Peter and the other disciples were weak and often didn't understand. However, they did receive revelation from God that Jesus is the Holy One of God. Without this revelation, people cannot have genuine faith. In Matthew 16, Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, "This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by the Father, by my Father in heaven." Jesus was very sensitive to people receiving revelation from God. He declared what Peter had said was not from this world, but from his Father in heaven. Therefore, we should always look to the Father and his work in revealing himself to people. Verse 70, then Jesus replied, "Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, the one of the 12, was later to betray him. People today, I think, may be positive about Jesus' statement, "I am the bread of life." However, many walk away when they hear what he said about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Why wouldn't Jesus water down his statement about people eating his flesh and drinking his blood, since it was so offensive to many people? Jesus knew human beings are frail and fickle. Many people said they believed, but went away when they heard Jesus' statements about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. They did not understand the spiritual significance of his words. They interpreted them only in the flesh through human reasoning. Jesus wanted people then and until today to know that his plan, purpose, and priority in coming into the world and redeeming us from sin was so that we would live by his indwelling presence. Let me say that again. His purpose in coming, redeeming us from sin, was so that we would live by his indwelling presence. We must eat his flesh and drink his blood daily. The only way we can be followers of his followers, his disciples, is by continually receiving his life and walking by the power of his indwelling presence. Does this sound repetitive? Yes, it is. And I think the reason Jesus repeated that we must eat his flesh and drink his blood was so that all of his followers would get it. He wants us to feed on him and experience, in Paul's words, "Not I, but Christ lives in me." Christians, true followers of Jesus, are not just nice people doing nice things and having nice meetings. True followers of Jesus feed on Jesus and experience Jesus living in them. As I have explained, some people did not understand what Jesus was saying. Some don't really want to understand. They are like Judas, one of the 12. He was one of the 12 disciples, but his motives were twisted, and he really did not want the life Jesus offered. Jesus knew from the beginning that Judas would betray him. Judas probably thought that Jesus would soon become king and that he would receive power, position, and possessions. He could not accept radical statements that Jesus made and had no desire to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Judas was selfish and followed Jesus for self-centered reasons. Judas thought that Jesus would become king, drive out the Roman occupiers, and restore the power and glory of Israel. Since Judas was in Jesus' inner circle, he probably thought he would be given a position of power and wealth. Jesus did not understand that Jesus came to suffer and die for the sins of the world. He did not understand that Jesus came not to be served. But to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus did not understand that Jesus calls us to follow him as servants, to die to selfishness, and to lose our lives for him. Many people today have the mindset of Judas, and sadly, this is why many people walk away from him. I want to conclude this chapter by summarizing this teaching of Jesus about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. I'll begin by reading again 6:33 to 57. "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. My flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me." John 6:53 to 57. Please give this passage some attention and meditate on it. These words summarize Jesus' teaching and burning passion. This is the point he wants to live in us. He said he wants us to eat his flesh and drink his blood, and we will abide in me and I in him. Feeding on Jesus means to receive his life continually. He said, just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He said that his flesh is true food and his blood is true drink. He is our life. He is the sustenance that is the very life of God to the believer. This is the theme and primary focus of John chapter 6. Jesus said, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. But if we eat his flesh and drink his blood, we have eternal life. Jesus said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. This is the promise of union with Christ. When we eat his flesh, we remain in him. And he made several similar statements in John 14:20. Jesus promised his disciples concerning this coming of the Spirit. In that day, you will know that I am the Father, that you are in me, and I am in you. In John 15, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. A disciple of Jesus is someone who is one with Christ and lives by his indwelling life. This was one of Paul's central themes in Galatians 2:20. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul described our life in Christ in this one verse. Christ lives in us by faith. And John wrote in 1 John 4:13, this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. We know and experience Christ in us through the Spirit of God. Being a follower of Jesus depends entirely on being one with him and experiences indwelling life through the Spirit. This is what it means to eat his flesh and drink his blood.